Welcome to How We Got There. I am your host, Mike Davis, founder of Go-To-Market Guides. I interview thought leaders and founders in the Salesforce ecosystem to help ISVs learn new things to try and mistakes to avoid. This episode of How We Got There is brought to you by Tequity Advisors, a global sell-side M&A advisory firm with core expertise in B2B enterprise cloud, SaaS, and IT services companies. They are focused on SaaS and ISVs, Salesforce, ServiceNow, SAP, Microsoft, Adobe, and the MSP clouds. Tequity has already completed 22 transactions in the Salesforce and Salesforce ISV ecosystems. Visit tequityadvisors.com, that's T-E-Q-U-I-T-Y, advisors.com, to learn how they achieve great outcomes for their clients, both in valuation and in terms. All right. I am here with Stephanie Betters, who is the founder and CEO of Left Main REI. Stephanie, welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, hey, love your story. We're both SUNY, State University of New York products, different schools, but share with us your journey from SUNY all the way to the Salesforce ecosystem.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a winding road. There's been some sightseeing along this way. Okay, so I graduated from SUNY Binghamton, and I was there studying nursing. Met my now husband there. It's relevant because we graduated from SUNY Binghamton. I started working as a nurse. He was an x-ray tech at the time, looking to apply to either medical school or PA school. And we had nothing, no money, nothing. So apparently in 2007, what you do when you have no money is you buy a foreclosed house. There was some TV show at that time that said, hey, this is a good idea to do. So my husband convinced me to buy this really terrible foreclosure. We actually had to break into it before we bought it to paint over the mold so we could qualify for a loan. It was like very mafia-esque. It was really funny. But anyway, we bought this foreclosed house with the intention of flipping it in 07. So a little foreshadowing there. We lived in that house. We flipped it and we sold it in 09. We moved in after the mold was remedied, just for the record. And thankfully, through just an amazing amount of just luck, and we sold that house 2 weeks before the local economy crashed. IBM was a major employer there and the economy crashed and we were like, wow, we're lucky. But we made good money on the house. And then we went to grad school. I went to Stony Brook. We both went to Stony Brook. I went to be a nurse practitioner. He a physician assistant. And again, my husband was like, we got to do this again. We need to flip more houses. This is really great. Long-term wealth building, et cetera. And I was like, okay, I don't want to do this, but if we do it again, I don't want to live in it again. So when we graduated from grad school, we looked for a place where the real estate market we felt would be appreciating again. And now this is 2011. And we decided that, hey, Charlotte, North Carolina is really great for the economy, for the housing market, for our medical careers. So we moved there. And essentially, what we decided to do was we were going to buy a house. And if that house appreciated, like we thought it would in 2 years, we would take out a home equity line of credit. And that's what we would use to start our real estate business. So that's what happened. Like, it was amazing. It was a little bet we took on ourselves, and we bought a house in a kind of a developing neighborhood. It was not a fixer-upper, thank God. It was totally safe to have additional children in, which our first house was not. And so fast forward 2 years later, we had now three children and we were ready. It appreciated. We took a $20,000 loan out on the house and started looking for houses to flip. Lo and behold, that's difficult. It was difficult to find a deal that made sense. And we ended up actually accidentally getting two houses under contract at the same time. One we decided to keep as a rental, one we decided to flip. And we flipped that and we took that money and bought more houses to flip. And we were buying properties off of the MLS and really struggling to find good deals. So we had a couple of friends in the neighborhood that said, hey, if you market, you can find better deals. So we started marketing and then we got more deals. And we were really trying to grow our real estate company and trying to grow our portfolio. And it kind of came to a crossroads where we really couldn't do both simultaneously. We had to either grow a company that was going to help us buy property, or we would have to not grow a company and we'd have to buy a house every 5 years or so. Because, I mean, that's what we could afford for down payments and things like that for mortgages. Like, we just had to keep saving up money in order to get the down payment for a conventional mortgage. So we decided, hey, let's just grow this company. So in growing that company, he was a CEO, I was a COO, we were both still working full-time in the hospital, and it became very apparent very quickly that there were no great real estate tools. There are some project management tools out there. We were using a Citrix-based tool called Podio. It really wasn't meant to be what we were using it for like tracking marketing in depth and having integrations and automation. It was very, very clunky. In fact, one time it went down for a whole week and I thought I would lose my mind. But at this point, we're spending a lot of money on marketing, trying to source off-market property to the tune of like $60,000 to $100,000 a month in marketing. We had multiple employees, not many, four, and they're working remotely. And we needed a centralized solution that everybody could work out of. And we could manage our customers and manage our marketing and manage our leads and all of our transactions. And the tools that were available to us were really, really bad. And this was exquisitely painful for me because I'm used to medical, the medical world where you have access to technology and great technology at that. And we just didn't have it. And I was just so flabbergasted by it. So anyway, when our CRM went down, Podio, I just kind of snapped and was like, okay, what's the number one CRM in the world? I'm just going to go buy that. And that's what we need. Otherwise, we can't grow and I'm going to lose my mind. And I'm sure we're losing money along the way here because we're ineffective and inefficient. So indisputably, that's Salesforce is number one, right? So we kind of went through this whole Salesforce sales process, which was extremely overwhelming as a small business owner, time consuming, and really nobody I talked to, the AE or really the, I don't know who the solution engineers were. Now this seems like a million years ago, so I don't even know who was on the call. At the time I was so naive, right? But they didn't understand real estate. They didn't understand what I wanted. So I had all this time invested trying to explain what I wanted to them and they still didn't get it. But we got to the end where they pitch you and there's a beautiful fancy deck and you kind of like, this is going to hurt whenever we get to the final slide of this deck. Anyway, they quoted us $100,000 for a 6-month build time. And at that point, after the build, we would be able to log in and then we would start phase two. So, I mean, just to be honest, I like lost my mind on this call. I was shocked at the build time, at the cost. I thought it was going to be like $20,000, $30,000 bucks. And that was going to hurt. Right? Not $100,000 in 6 months before I could use it. And then that's basically like framework. I was just blown away. And so I just lost my mind on a Zoom call with these poor people who were trying to help me. And I was like, that's outrageous. That's so much money. How could it be that expensive? Like, how could this be so difficult? Like, I'm just going to do it myself. And then this poor soul on the call said, that's cute. And then I lost it even more. It's like, that's cute. Okay, now I'm going to do it. Now I'm really going to do it. So you guys can all like screw off, pound sand. I'm going to build it myself. That's not easy to do, that turns out. Anyway, all the Salesforce courses were extremely expensive, like thousands of dollars for these courses to learn and certifications and all this stuff. So I found a 20-year-old Udemy course that taught you Salesforce Classic and figured, if I could learn the framework of this thing, then I can figure out the rest. And so literally heads down for essentially 3 months straight. My poor family barely saw me. I learned the system, learned Salesforce, learned flows, learned Process Builder. I even learned to do a couple cool things in Apex and launched for our company. So Better Path Homes, my investment company. And we launched that just shy of 3 months. It was just over 3 months, excuse me. And it was great. Our team loved it. I felt immediate like relief and data clarity. And it was really amazing. And about a month after we launched, my Salesforce AE reached out to me and was like, hey, how's it going with your self build? Like, did you give up? Did you need more help? Like, you know, should we go back to the solution engineers? And I was like, oh no, I'm done. I've launched it. It's finished and it's great. Thanks. And she's like, well, can I see it? Really? I said, okay, I'll show it to you. And I'm thinking, I'll show this lady so that she'll stop following up with me, right? So we jump on a Zoom call, I show her what we have, what I built. And she's like, can I come visit you in your office? And I was like, sure, I guess so. So she comes out to my office in Charlotte and she said, I think you have something here. Like, do you think anybody else would buy it? I said, well, I guess. I don't know. I didn't build this with others in mind. She said, well, if you're interested in getting other people on board with this, I think you should talk to our partnership team. And so, well, what does that mean? So that basically kicked off this really amazing journey with the Salesforce partner ecosystem and the Salesforce ecosystem in general, to be honest, because it was very singular before. It was really just, hey, I need some licenses and I'm going to build this thing, right? To me meeting the partner team and the partner community and talking about what I can do for the real estate community. And if this would be, if we can come up with some good terms and some good product offering here, then what we can do for this whole vertical. So negotiated a pretty amazing contract, got, you know, passed security review, got it launched on the AppExchange at the end of January in 2020. So that was crazy. And after all that, I was kind of afraid to talk about it, to be honest, because I was like, well, shoot, this feels like a child I just birthed. What if everyone thinks my baby's ugly? It was very scary to be vulnerable in that sense and like talk to my friends about it, you know?
Well, and that's such an amazing story. And like Salesforce vertical SaaS, like obviously you have nCino and Viva as like bright shining examples of OEM technology built on the Salesforce platform, but you solved your own problem very organically with no intention of starting the business. And then you just kind of stumbled into this and now you have hundreds of customers, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's incredible. Well, let's talk a little bit about go-to-market. There's so much to unpack there.
Yeah.
You're a OEM partner and ISV force now.
Yep.
Talk to us a little bit about how you got those hundreds of customers and what that journey looked like.
So our initial go-to-market strategy was really just networking with our industry, essentially. So being a part of the real estate investment community, I have a bunch of other friends who do that, that I've met in conferences. So it really just started with thought leadership. I have a really good reputation at these conferences and as a operator in the real estate space. So I did have some attention already from other people just in the industry and that were interested in our success, right? Like, okay, how were you successful yourself? What tools did you use? And that's kind of what we all talk about, right? Like, what's your real estate strategy? What's your marketing strategy? What are the tools that you use? And so I talked to them about Salesforce and Left Main. Like, this is what we use. And it changed our business. I mean, using a platform that can do all the things we need it to do absolutely changed our business and made us better and more profitable. And people are like, oh, well, can I try that? Sure. So it started with just that thought leadership in these different conferences and sharing how it impacted us and our business and our story, our win story. And it kind of went viral from there, right? Like then other people used it and then they told their friends about it because everybody wants to have their cool like tool to share too, right? So if something's working well for them, they'll talk about it. So that's basically how we got the majority of our customers in the early days was really just in our own industry thought leadership and conference attendance and networking and talking about the tool. We did just a couple, like I did screenshots of our dashboards and things like that. And it went really far. And honestly, I didn't even know I could connect with Salesforce and do anything on the AMP marketplace or like AppExchange. We had our thing, our package listed on the AppExchange, but we got nothing out of it. No traffic, nothing. And I didn't even have a named partner account manager. So I didn't know what I was doing at all, but I did have my own network in the industry. So that was our go-to-market. Just talk about it to the people that are in the same room as us already and see if we can get them on a demo. Once we demoed them, our close ratio was really, really high. It was 50% or higher, especially in the early days, it was probably higher. But yeah, I knew that if I could get them on that demo, then it would be a sealed deal.
Yeah. And I mean, that's so many good learnings there, that thought leadership early. I'm a firm believer in if you help people do their job better, they'll eventually give you money. And it sounds like you're out there helping the real estate community think about technology. And then as you've shifted over time, talk to us a little bit about how you are leveraging the relationships with Salesforce AEs and what that looks like.
Yeah. So after we had some growth and some success on the platform, we got introduced to a partner account manager. And we've had a couple now. My current one is my favorite. Her name is Colleen. She's amazing. So I went through the Accelerate program too. One of our partner account managers advised us to do that. And that's really kind of when I started learning about really Salesforce's ecosystem and basically how to get the word out on the Salesforce level. Because again, I was only really doing that on our side, right? On our industry level. So really the next step that we did from there was just to try to understand who we already had in our network at Salesforce. So it was our partner account manager and it was our own account executive because we're using the platform too, right? Both for our real estate company, but also for our partner business org. So I just started talking to Salesforce AEs and I asked them, like, hey, can I have a quick 15-minute call? Can I just talk to you about what we're doing and see how we can grow more together? And people are pretty willing to give you a 15-minute phone call. So that was really neat. So we got to know our account manager better. And I think the next time that we really got an in was from the AppExchange. One of the Salesforce AEs downloaded a free trial or they did a test drive or something of our app. And I got introduced to them that way. And I just pushed that relationship essentially as hard as I could. Who's your customer? How can we help them? Can we do a joint demo? Can we have a quick 15-minute call? And they were super willing to do that because they wanted to co-sell together and help them close. And as soon as we had one win with a co-sale, the whole office opened up. And our strategy was, hey, can we just do a product enablement? Can we come in and meet you guys? I'd love to bring some food and just talk to you guys about the real estate industry and how we can win. I was able to do a little bit of research and see, especially with that AE helping us out with their patch, what percentage of their patch were real estate accounts. And surprisingly, 20% of this person's patch was real estate accounts and all of them were either lost. Yeah. Or they were tier four, like super small account and they weren't paying any attention to them, you know? So it's like, hey, I mean, we can close the like 20%, like you're not closing these, like let's just work these together. And that was a huge light bulb moment for them too. They're like, well, yeah, actually that would be great. So that was kind of our Salesforce strategy born. Let's look at your patch. We have some SIC codes that are our, what we consider kind of our lay me down customer that are perfect match customers. Cause we have some secondary markets too, of course, in real estate, like construction companies or things like that. But I said, okay, these are our SIC codes. Let's just look at your patch and see who's a direct fit and I'll help you prospect them. Like we'll call into those accounts too. Let's see if we can get them on a demo. And because knowingly, if we get them on a demo, we're going to close them. And that was our strategy. So with that AE, and that was successful, we closed a couple more accounts and then they referred us to their other buddies in the office and said, hey, if you got a real estate account, you got to meet these people. And we started doing on-sites. Our first one was in the Boston office. We came and just did like a quick demo of like how we can co-sell together. We looked at their patches. The Boston office had about 10% of their patches on average had real estate accounts. So they're all seeing like the ACV dollars in their pocket and the new logo bonuses coming in, right? Because most of these people are brand new logos. And from that, we got referred to one of their friends that was in the Chicago office and then the Atlanta office. And then we're in Toronto. So once you get somebody from the inside, usually you can ask for a referral or they know each other or you can do it on site and get to know other people in the office. And our basic strategy for those product enablements was just talking to them about how we can co-sell together and how we can bring new logos and new logo bonuses from just being able to have an industry specific pitch.
Well, and I like that too, because the Salesforce sellers, they all, territories always change for them. And then they look at them and Salesforce historically hasn't had a real strong industry focus on the real estate industry. Like that's why you have a business. And so like they probably are looking at the end of that list and being like, oh, I need to call that 10% again. And here comes Stephanie saying, hey, like, let me take the lead with you and we'll help you close these on Left Main instead of just generic Salesforce with that 100K professional services quote like you got.
Right. And I think it's been my unique experience too has helped me understand the customer and what their journey looks like, which is the traditional Salesforce sales experience for me as a small business owner. Like it's very frustrating and overwhelming. And talking to somebody who doesn't understand, like it's hard to make a huge financial commitment when somebody doesn't understand.
Absolutely. Now, I know you started as a OEM type partner. I'm curious what you saw in from a trend point of view or a pattern point of view. I guess, when did you decide to also do ISV Force? What was that kind of trigger for you?
Yeah, it was just last year that we got that. And really just because we've had a couple deals come up where people were already on Salesforce and looking to expand. And I did not want to put myself in a competitive situation to the Salesforce AE. I think that that would be kind of cutting our noses by our face. So how can we continue to have this harmonious sales process for people who are already on platform? So ISV licensing allows us to do that essentially, where we can, there's no disputable conflict here. Like, it just, we can either do OEM route for brand new people that are coming in through our marketing channels, or we can do the ISV route for anybody coming in from the Salesforce side.
That's awesome. In building this business, Stephanie, what are you most proud of?
Oh, gosh. I'm proud of doing it scared and doing it without all the information. That's not very much like me. I'm a planner and I'm a kind of a logarithmic thinker. So it was very scary to kind of uncover a huge opportunity and then not have all the steps laid out on how I'm going to execute it. But knowing enough to do the next step, right? Like the one thing at a time, and doing it scared to talk about it, scared to tell my friends, scared to know where to start. So I'm really proud that I seized the opportunity, even though I didn't have the entire game plan mapped out. I think that's
awesome.
That was a really cool personal win for me. And I'm also really proud that I was able to bring something to an industry that I'm really passionate about. Like, I love the real estate industry. I live and breathe in it too. And I was really excited and proud to be able to bring a product that could help other companies, give something back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you're in like, yeah, there's come ISVs of all shapes and sizes, but not a massive percentage of them get to hundreds and hundreds of customers. So you should feel great about that. On the flip side, what's a mistake that you made along the way?
Oh man, there were many. Pricing being too inexpensive was one. Not anticipating the amount of handholding it takes to onboard new customers. That was probably our biggest mistake. Bringing on a brand new logo to Salesforce and anticipating the level of customer support needed for super small businesses that don't have tech on staff, I underestimated. I learned it relatively quickly. I'm kind of a quick study. So I thought that people would have that same experience and not need a ton from our team. But oh no, I was sorely mistaken there. People need a lot, especially the first 3 months after implementing Salesforce. They really need a close relationship with our team to be able to feel successful, feel tucked in the system. So I rapidly learned that lesson, but that was a big mistake. I wish I had anticipated that a little bit earlier in the beginning and also was able to say no to people who wanted to customize from the very, very beginning and wanted to just, hey, what about this? What about this? Kind of that squirrel effect. I wish I was able to say no and keep people a little bit more focused in the beginning when they were onboarding and not be so willing to bend rules and get feedback from people and make changes and just keep them on the path, on board, understand the product. Here's a ton of resources for you and we'll launch and then talk about consulting next, like kind of SE work next. But thankfully I did learn that lesson, but it was when scaling that quickly and having that many new sales come aboard so fast, I couldn't hire fast enough. And then people who you're hiring quickly are not trained yet, right? They're still learning. So there's a little bit of a growing pain there. And then the number of staff, like it just took time to get the right number of staff aboard to be able to properly service everybody. So
many good things there, Stephanie. I want to touch on a couple of them. One thing was learning what to say no to. Oh, yeah. And it can be scary at first, right? Like you want to be like, customers always right is what we hear all the time. And it's like, well, people actually like to hear like, no, they're very open to it. I've seen ISVs go as far as like putting a slide in their pitch deck that says, this is what we don't do, and have that be explicit. So I love that learning. One question I wanted to ask, because I think a lot of ISVs kind of underestimate the support commitment and the onboarding commitment. How did you solve that? Did you solve that with like an FAQ or a knowledge base, or did you solve that with people or videos or combination of all the above? Like, help the next founder up kind of solve that problem.
Yeah, kind of all of the above for sure. So having customer success personnel for onboarding is critical. That personal component where you can just quickly ask questions on video saves about 100 emails and frustration from the customer, right? Like as soon as you have to write two or three emails, everyone's just frustrated and it's really difficult to recover from that. But having pre-scheduled onboarding face-to-face Zoom calls face-to-face as it is in post-COVID era. That saves a lot of tone and email and frustration, and people can start to build a little bit of a relationship. And generally, they're a little more forgiving than when they're inherently frustrated with technology, right? So that's critical to have during the onboarding process, in my opinion. But also, people want to be self-sufficient and they don't want to wait for meetings or email responses. I mean, I've been a little bit just kind of aghast as to like how people expect just such a quick email response. Like, I had one customer who was upset because they sent 4 emails and did not get like read receipts back. Like, hey, I got your email. And they just got a response the next day. Like, I waited a whole day for you to respond to my email. I'm like, okay, how do I solve this? This is really challenging. How do you make an email, a text message, and still go to all your meetings? Yeah. So they want to be self-sufficient is really kind of the bottom line. So having a really great training portal and having kind of pre-scheduled calls, like FAQ calls that they can listen to, has been great. So we used a couple of different like kind of LMA, learning management platforms. Trainual was one of them. Thinkific was the one we ended up sticking with. So Thinkific has both a course that they can take and kind of a knowledge base. We initially just did a knowledge base on our website, and it was too much and customers got lost. They didn't like know what steps to go in. They kind of rabbit holed and then didn't get core content well out of just kind of a generic knowledge base. Because again, we know where to click, but they don't know where to click. So it's kind of funny. It's like proofreading your own paper. We didn't anticipate that they didn't know where to click or what category their question came in. Even adding a search bar was confusing because then keyword matching is challenging with the way people think about words that they want to ask. Like, they don't know how to speak Salesforce speak, in other words. So they're not asking about how do I convert a lead or why didn't this field map over here? They're asking like, my opportunity didn't show up. What does that mean, right? So the knowledge base was too broad, but still relevant for customers who are onboarded in the kind of post-onboarding phase. So we decided to put together a course alongside having a knowledge base. And that, I think, was a really big key for us. So we have something called the Left Main Certification Course. And this is like your core knowledge that you need to know. And of course, this is stuff that we go over during onboarding, but it's all segmented, just like you would take an online class. I think it's about somewhere between 12 and 14 hours worth of content. So there's a ton of content in there, but it's organized and kind of gives them a start here path. And they can skip things that aren't relevant to them, or they can watch it on 2x speed and things like that. But it gives them a trail, essentially, of this is where you're going to, like, how to know this product and then where to go deeper, and directs them also and teaches them a little bit on how to use the knowledge base and how to find Salesforce resources that teaches them about the Salesforce ecosystem and the trailhead and things like that, kind of where to get what the difference between our application is and Salesforce and where they meet and like just basically how to exist in the platform. Because like 90%+ of our customers are brand new to Salesforce. So they need both, really. They need education on our product, but also the ecosystem. So that was a long-winded answer, but that was the key to really our customer success, being able to be proactive and not just deal with people who are frustrated with an onboarding process. We get to take them through our traditional onboarding process with another human being on a phone call with them, but then also give them resources to help make them successful and like guardrails into their own learning. So that was critical. Then they could also pass this off to new employees who are coming on board and trying to learn. Okay, new employee, this part of your new hiring process, you have to get certified. And they get a certificate and everything, and it's exciting. We even gave them incentives. We gave them like $50 to use on the platform with some of our add-ons so they can get credit for things. And it felt like a huge win.
Oh, that's cool. So my takeaways from that is like, it's not going to be one thing. It's obviously going to be people, but you can also enable through technology to help that self-service and the people who want that self-service option. But then also the reality is some people will want that like one-on-one. And especially when you're dealing with SMBs that are brand new to Salesforce, like you need to be a little flexible. Cool. What are you working on now? What are you working on this year in the business?
So we're expanding our product suite more and more. Our initial launch was for residential real estate only. So now we have commercial real estate available, project management. So those products are continuing to expand too. We also have a new launch with what is our direct mail integration. So a big part of real estate is mail. I don't know if you have ever gotten a letter in the mail that said from an agent that said, hey, I just closed a property in your neighborhood, right? Or somebody sending you a letter that says, hey, I'd like to make an offer on your property. So mail is a huge piece of the real estate marketing strategy. So what we've built now is a direct integration to our product where you can just click two buttons and send a mail piece out directly from the system that will be mailed essentially the next day. It processes at midnight and then it drops in the mail. And it's all bulk pricing. So the most expensive thing you can send is a letter with a windowed envelope or with not a windowed envelope, but you can customize it. And that's 90 cents. And the postcard is 60 cents, I think it's 56 cents, something like that. And everything is customizable. So we've built a ton of templates and put them in there. And you can customize those templates. They have merge tags. They're very easy to do. You can upload your own templates that you want. Those, have, of course, have about a 48-hour turnaround time because they have to be API-ified and things. But I'm really proud of that integration. That was a huge win for my personal company. Being able to mail people that are in follow-up has been a game changer. We've got a lot of great deals out of that initiative. And we've launched it to the whole Left Main community. So those are the big ones.
That's awesome. Well, Stephanie, let's wrap up here with the final three rapid fire questions, 10 second answers. You ready to go?
Ooh, I don't know. Yes.
Who is one company or person in the ecosystem that you track or follow?
Ooh, I follow really the whole Salesforce ecosystem as a whole on LinkedIn, which has been really great. I follow, oh gosh, now I'm going to blank on her name. She's the UK CEO, Salesforce CEO. I follow her on Instagram and I'm so inspired by her. I'll think of her name here in just a second.
Love it. Well, no worries. What would you tell yourself day one of working in the ecosystem?
Plant the seeds, even if they don't bloom immediately. Know that what you're doing in the ecosystem and the relationships that you're building and the networking from the ecosystem will absolutely pay off. So don't be afraid to play the long game and plant those seeds.
Lastly, what gives you energy in your personal life?
Oh, my children, my three kiddos, my husband, and traveling. I get very inspired and refreshed by kind of getting out of my own sphere and traveling. So,
love that. Well, Stephanie, thanks so much for joining and sharing so freely. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something from today's episode of How We Got There. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. I'll see you here next time.